Maharaj, Srila Prabhupada Ki, Jai Om Vishnu Bhavamsa Varada Jagataya, Sisima Bhakti Siddhanta, Sarasati Thakur, Srila Prabhupada Ki, Gaur Premanandi. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Bhagavatam, first canto, chapter 3. Krishna is the source of all incarnations. Text 22. Nara devatam apanya.
Nara devatam apanya.
Surakaya chikushaya.
Surakaya chikushaya.
Samudra nigrahadini. Chakre viryan yataparam.
Chakre viryan yataparam.
Nara devatram apanya.
Nara devatram apanya.
Surakaya chikishaya.
Surakaya chikishaya.
Samudra nigrahadini.
Samudra nigrahadini.
Chakre viryan yataparam.
Chakre viryan yataparam.
Nara devatram apanya.
Nara devatram apanya.
Surakaya chikishaya.
Surakaya chikishaya.
Samudra nigrahadini.
Samudra nigrahadini.
Chakre viyanya sapparam.
Chakre viyanya sapparam.
Nara devatram apanya.
Nara,
Nara,
human being.
Devatvam,
divinity.
Apanya,
having assumed the form of.
Sura,
the demigods.
Kaya,
activities. Chikirshaya,
for the purpose of performing.
Samudra, the Indian Ocean. Nigraha Adhini, controlling.
Chakre,
did perform.
Viryani,
superhuman prowess.
Ataparam,
thereafter. Translation: in the 18th incarnation, the Lord appeared as King Rama. In order to perform some pleasing work for the demigods, he exhibited superhuman powers by controlling the Indian Ocean and then killing the atheist King Ravan, who was on the other side of the sea. Purport. The personality of Godhead Sri Rama assumed the form of a human being and appeared on the earth for the purpose of doing some pleasing work for the demigods or the administrative personalities to maintain the order of the universe. Sometimes great demons and atheists like Ravana and Hiranyakashipu and many others become very famous due to advancing material civilization by the help of material science and other activities with a spirit of challenging the established order of the Lord. For example, the attempt to fly to other planets by material means is a challenge to the established order. The conditions of each and every planet are different, and different classes of human beings are accommodated there for particular purposes mentioned in the codes of the Lord. But, puffed up by tiny success in material advancement, sometimes the godless materialists challenge the existence of God. Ravana was one of them, and he wanted to deport ordinary men to the planet of Indra, heaven, by material means, without consideration of the necessary qualifications. He wanted a staircase to be built up directly, reaching the heavenly planet, so that people might not be required to undergo the routine of pious work necessary to enter that planet. He also wanted to perform other acts against the established rule of the Lord. He even challenged the authority of Sri Rama, the personality of Godhead, and kidnapped his wife, Sita. Of course, Lord Ram came to chastise this atheist, answering the prayer and desire of the demigods. He therefore took up the challenge of Ravan, and the complete activity is the subject matter of the Ramayana. Because Lord Ramchandra was the personality of Godhead, he exhibited superhuman activities which no human being, including the materially advanced Ravan, could perform. Lord Ramachandra prepared a royal road on the Indian Ocean with stones that floated on the water. The modern scientists have done research in the area of weightlessness, but it is not possible to bring in weightlessness anywhere and everywhere. But because weightlessness is the creation of the Lord, by which he can make the gigantic planets fly and float in the air, he made the stones even within this earth to be weightless and prepared a stone bridge on the sea without any supporting pillar. That is the display of the power of God. Om Jnana Timirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshun Militam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nitananda Sri Advaita Gadadha Sri Vasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. We get some insight into the psychology of a conditioned soul, especially a conditioned soul very determined how to defy the established order of the Lord. What is the general mentality of a living entity who comes to this world? Iccha dvesha samuttena dvanda mohena bharata. Krishna says, all living entities are born into this world, overcome by the dualities of desire and hate. Specifically, this refers to the desire of the conditioned soul to imitate Krishna. Then there's the other side of the psychology, which is aversion or hate of the instructions of the Supreme Lord. Therefore, when we want to understand what is our modus operandi in this material world, we should take these psychology lessons from Lord Sri Krishna. Two things together, two sides of the coin. Desire, attachment, I want to enjoy like Krishna. And then the other side, aversion, hate. I can't stand the instructions of Krishna. I'm not going to follow them. When you see someone like Robin, then the psychology becomes especially magnified. And it's interesting how Srila Prabhupada makes the point that too much pride in material advancement is a direct challenge against the established order of the Lord. Now, in connection with Lord Ram's appearance, we notice Naradeva Kramalpanya Sura Kaya Chikirshaya. Lord Ram appeared. Alright. But here the Bhagavatam says, in order to perform some pleasing work for the demigods, he did so many things, like killing Ravana and conquering the Indian Ocean by floating stones. Now, a very interesting question should come to our mind. In fact, this question becomes so intriguing, it can take the form of a doubt. And indeed, Prichit Maharaj registered this very fascinating question doubt in the beginning of the seventh canto of Bhagavatam. Prichit Maharaj had just heard from Shukadeva Goswami about how the Lord apparently took sides with Indra and killed Indra's enemies in the sixth canto of the Bhagavatam. So, upon hearing that, Prichit Maharaj was wondering, what's going on here? He said, Sama Priya Sahit Brahman Bhutanam Bhagavan Swayam. Here we have Bhagavan Swayam, the Supreme Personality of Godhead Himself, who we all know, we accept as a transcendental fact. The Lord, Bhagavan Swayam, is Sama, equal to all living entities. Priya, He's dear to all living entities, and they're all dear to Him. And Suhit, He's the best friend of everyone. Therefore, O Brahman, Shukadeva Goswami, I have a particular puzzlement. How is it that someone who is impartial, equal to everyone, can apparently take the side of one party and be against the other party? This doubt is perplexing me very much. Now, we have to try to get insight into what Prichit Maharaj was seeing and feeling. First of all, he completely accepted. There's no doubt that the Supreme Lord is equal to everyone. I know that. I accept that as a basic fact of existence. But now I have seen something which is challenging that knowledge, which I do accept. How can it be? First of all, let's understand more. Let's discuss more about the position of Bhagavan. He's the reservoir of pleasure. How can someone who is the reservoir of pleasure have the need to side with a party like the demigods? Secondly, the Lord is completely transcendental. How can someone who is completely transcendental feel enmity or have fear in regards to another party? This is quite perplexing to me. Now, let us think deeply about what Prichit Maharaj takes for granted, the transcendental knowledge which he knows to be completely true. He understands that the conditioned soul's body at the time of birth is packed with aversion and attachment, enmity and inclinations to be favorable. Prichit Maharaj understands that's what it means to be born in this material world. But here we have the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And Shukadev Goswami will confirm in his answer to Prithviraj, yes, the Lord is Aja, unborn. Because he is unborn, we have to understand the full purport of the Lord's mechanism of appearance within this world. Someone who is unborn cannot have a body that shows material partiality. Someone who is unborn cannot have a body that is acting with enmity toward one party or pleasingly inclined toward another party. That's not possible. So, what is going on here? Prithviraj laid this question at Shukadev Goswami. Apparently, it looks like there is a difference between the Lord's behavior with one group and another group. Apparently, there's a difference between the Lord's benedicting and the Lord's killing. It looks like that. Therefore, what to do? He told Shukadev, this doubt is very awesome for me, but you know everything. I'm presenting it all to you. What was Shukadev Goswami's reply? He expressed thankfulness to Prince Maharaj. You have asked an excellent question. This is the nature of Bhagavatam. It'll teach us so much about reciprocation. How great personalities interact on the spiritual platform. And when one turns to Chaitanya Charitamrita, one is overwhelmed by the sweetness of the interaction between the Lord and his devotees. So, Shukadev Goswami replied, Sadhu Prishtam Maharaja. Excellent question, Maharaj. Haresh Charitam Adbhutam. You are asking about the glorious activities of Lord Hari. Now, what about those glorious activities of Lord Hari? They have both a positive and a negative effect. The positive effect is the pastimes of the Lord are so pleasing to the devotee's ears. And the negative effect is that the pastimes, hearing them, destroys material misery. This is a very mystical effect of hearing about Krishna that sometimes our devotees have a hard time understanding. Yes, I get pleasure by hearing about Krishna, but how is it that hearing the activities of the Lord will reduce suffering in this world? But Shukadev Goswami had no doubts. Simply by hearing the activities of Lord Hari, pleasure goes up and misery is eradicated. Then, because Shukadev Goswami comes in parampara, he immediately referred to his predecessors. He said, this is why Narada Muni speaks Bhagavatam. He knows these things. That Bhagavatam, with its presentation of the glories of the Lord and his devotees, fills the ears of those who hear with wonder. And now I'll say what my father said, Krishna Dvaipayana Vyas. Let me answer your question, Prithvi Maharaj. Shukadev Goswami explained that it's only due to material vision that we see differences between this set of the Lord's activities and that set. In other words, Shukadev Goswami is giving lessons in true Advaita Siddhanta, how everything is one. Whether the Lord is killing, like he killed Ravana, or whether the Lord is apparently favoring his devotees, both activities have the same value. If we see a difference, it's because the vision of difference is induced in us by the material energy. And therefore, we impose upon the pastimes of the Lord this bias that I'm I must be seeing activities which have favor and disfavor, because that is what I'm accustomed to seeing in the material world, because I would act like that, and it looks quite apparent. Killing Ravana in order to perform some pleasing work for the demigods. It's quite obvious, it seems, that the Lord is taking sides. But Shukadeva Goswami says no. The Lord is giving everyone value, everyone benefit, although he's acting in a different way, the effect is one. Now, how to develop this point further so that devotees can understand, even when Krishna kills, just by the fact that Ravana or whoever, by their close contact with the Lord, they were benefited. Shukadeva Goswami has to develop the point that any way you come near Krishna, you start gradually acquiring the qualities of the Lord. In other words, therefore, you can't say the Lord is impartial, because however you come near him, ultimately the result will be the same. Although, at first there could be a little difference, apparently. Now, this is a very important point to understand. Apparently, in the beginning, there's some difference, such as Putana being killed. But Srila Prabhupada explains that this killing, for example, of Putana, is superfluous. Now, here is the challenge to our material senses. And this is what is unconsciously going on in our mind when we read about the Lord killing, whether it's Ravan or Putana. We think, killing is killing. Of course, Ravana deserved to die. Of course, Putana deserved to die. Still, killing is killing. But it was done by Krishna, therefore, even though it was this, therefore it was that. No, the actual way to look at it is, the killing is Advaya Gyan. It's Krishna's way of giving the same benefit. It's just a different way of giving the same value. Now that takes some deep thought how to see. And therefore, Shukadeva Goswami is going to very patiently present this point, and he's also going to refer to Parampara, that actually, you know, Prichard Maharaj, this same point was raised by Yudhisthira Maharaj at the Rajasuya Yajna. He was sitting there, Yudhisthira Maharaj, and he saw what happened when the Lord separated Shishupal's head from his body in such a way that no blood would spill on the sacrificial arena, because it was Shishupal's plan that I'll cause a killing commotion at Yudhisthira's yajna, and the whole sacrifice will be spoiled because there'll be blood in the arena. He's very clever, even. But Krishna is more clever. Krishna killed him. Yes, there was killing at the yajna, but the Lord did it. He severed Shishupal's head in such a way that no blood spilled on the sacrificial arena. And then Yudhisthira watched as Shishupal's soul merged into the body of the Lord. So he turned to Narada Muni, and while other sages also could hear, Yudhisthira asked him, "This is quite amazing to me. How could this great demon, who blasphemed the Lord even before he could talk as a little kid, how can he merge into the body of the Lord, a feat that even the greatest mystic yogis have difficulty to attain, this Sayuj Mukti? And furthermore, what about King Vena? He was a blasphemer. He was against the existence of God. It doesn't seem that he got that benefit." So Yudhisthira presented his doubt. Just like a candle flame is disturbed by the blowing wind, similarly, my mind is overwhelmed with this doubt. So Narada Muni then expanded the point that, look, one thing we have to understand is any way you come in contact with Krishna, you are benefited, and you gradually start acquiring the transcendental qualities of the Lord. The whole point is absorption, focus on the Supreme Personality of Godhead, name, form, qualities, and pastimes. That is the point. This point is so great and extraordinary that even if you focus on the Lord in enmity, still you'll end up with value. Kamam, Krodham, Bhayam, Sneham, Aikyam, Sodham, Evacham. Let's take the different emotional states that you can focus on the Lord with. You can do it with apparent lust, like the gopis. You can do it out of anger, enmity, like Shishupal. Fear, like Kamsa. Sneha, affection, like the Pandavas. They have affection. Or, Aikyam, you can want this oneness. The point is, somehow or other, if the absorption is there, you'll get the same value. Although, when you go into the details, there are differences. It's always like that. This is Advaita again. All the varieties belong to one unit. There's always some fine details that go on and on and on. So therefore, generally you can say that Shishupal got the same result, but then you go deeper into the matter and there's more delicious variety. So this is the life of a devotee, relishing these varieties and seeing that although it looks like Krishna is acting in different ways, actually the same value is there for everyone. His killing benefits, although it's a hard one for us to understand. His killing benefits, his favoring benefits, he has no material body. Therefore, he cannot feel attachment or aversion. He cannot feel cajoled in a material way. Or he cannot be antagonized in a material way. This is what it means to have a spiritual body. And those who come in contact with Krishna, they gradually take on the qualities of Lord Krishna. Here's a very nice example in Chaitanya Charitamrita, given by Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, about how the devotee takes on the qualities of the Lord. Lord Chaitanya and Haridas Thakur met, and they embraced. And Kaviraj Goswami describes that in their embrace, they were becoming transformed by the qualities of the other. Lord Chaitanya, in his embracing of Haridas Thakur, was becoming transformed by Haridas's qualities, and Haridas Thakur was becoming transformed by the Lord's qualities. This is oneness. This is true Advaita Siddhanta. Still, in that exchange of qualities and mutual transformation, the Lord is always the Prabhu, and the devotee is always the Britja, the servitor. They don't become one in the misconception that there's no variety. Lord Chaitanya noticed Haridas Thakur, how Haridas Thakur was feeling. How can you touch me? I'm so abominable. And Lord Chaitanya said, I'm touching you to acquire your qualities. I don't have those qualities within me. In the oneness of their embrace, Haridas Thakur is feeling lowly, and the Lord is feeling, due to contact with so many unfortunate entities, I need to embrace you to become purified. So, this is a beautiful example of how nearness to the Lord produces such glories of bhakti. Sometimes when we think of the Lord's pastimes in Vrindavan, we can see that even there, the Lord makes distinctions and expertly deals with varieties of devotees. Ramachandra is mentioned here, how he controlled the Indian Ocean, he killed Ravana. He also did something else, which reveals how the Lord can cope with unlimited variety. You see, a firm point in bhakti is that Krishna can perfectly reciprocate anyone's love. A devotee needs that kind of conviction. Wherever I'm at, whatever my propensity or flavor is, Krishna can handle it perfectly. So, during Ram Leela, in the Dandakaranya forest, there were these Maharishis, and they were very attached to Lord Gopal. So, they're worshipping Lord Gopal, and then they saw Lord Ram. Upon seeing Lord Ram, their level of love of Krishna reached a mature, spontaneous point, and they began to feel attraction for Lord Ram based on Lord Ram's beauty, reminding them of their Lord Gopal. So they were kind of embarrassed to express this, that they had these feelings developed in them of this kind of attraction. But Lord Ram, being the Supreme Personality of Godhead, understood their desires. So he arranged that in the next birth, these sages would take birth as cowherd girls in Vrindavan. Still, amongst the group, there were differences. Amongst all of Krishna's consorts in Vrindavan, you can divide. Just to show you how Krishna's flute can create different responses, and then Yogamaya arranges how the different devotees, based on where they're at, they come out to meet Krishna. So you have the one group, the Nitya Siddha, lovers of Krishna. Then you have the other group, the Sadhana Siddha. And amongst the Sadhana Siddhas, you have the those who are not in a special group, and you have those who are in special groups. So, furthermore, of those who are in the special groups, you can divide further, the Municharis, the sages from the Dandakaranya forest, and the Shrutacharis, the personified Vedas who have taken birth in Vrindavan as cowherd girls. Now, there were different levels of readiness to be with Krishna. And Krishna and Yogamaya know how to handle that. So, an important feature is association with the Nitya Siddha cowherd girls of Krishna's. Some groups of cowherd girls immediately got that Nitya Siddha association, the Acharyas explained in their commentaries on Bhagavatam. Others didn't immediately get that, but everything was handled perfectly based on the different levels of devotees. One example given is you take mangoes. You want mangoes, you go out into a mango place, and you say, oh, these look ripe. Generally, that is a correct statement. You gather all the ripe mangoes, but then when you bring them to your home, what do you see? But actually, these mangoes are, they need a few more days before we can eat them. And these other mangoes, they are ripe completely today. So from the, how should we say, from the preliminary point of view, you say they're all ripe mangoes. Let's bring them all. But then, when it comes down to a specific situation, you see, these mangoes are ready right now for eating. These mangoes will be ready in a few days for eating. So this is what happened when Krishna played his flute in the groves of Vrindavan. Yogamaya sent out different groups of lovers of Krishna according to their minute readiness. Although you can say, from the overall point of view, everyone's right. But Krishna is the specialist in exchanging love, so he knows precisely the right time, the right way to handle everyone's level. So, of the Municharis. These were the ones who saw Lord Ram in the forest in their previous life. Those of them who quickly had, by meditation on Krishna, quickly had reached the optimum level of perfection. They took on husbands in Vrindavan, but there was no contact between them and their husbands. And when the flute sounded, they left in spite of their husbands forbidding them. Then there were others who didn't have the fortune of the contact with the Nityasiddha gopis. So they actually entered into marriage and had children. And when the flute sounded, they wanted to go. But in their case, their husbands even blocked the door with sticks. So what to do? They began to meditate on the Supreme Lord, showing the highest skill of yoga. They closed their eyes and meditated on the Lord so intensely, they were feeling it, the separation so much, that Krishna came to them directly, and they experienced that. So, the Lord mentions this in the 47th chapter of the 10th canon. Some gopis couldn't come out to see me, but by their meditation upon me, they still associated with me. What happened? By the arrangement of Yogamaya, besides those who didn't come out on that night, there were also those who came out in successive waves on the same night. This is how Krishna perfectly handles love. Some came out immediately. Others came out afterwards, purified by their intense meditation on the Lord. Still others came out on nights in the future to dance with Krishna. So in this way, we see everything is one, but there's always unlimited variety, unlimited distinction. Now, there's no hope of seeing these kind of spiritual varieties, especially in the groves of Vrindavan, if we cannot see the Advaya Gyan in relation to the Lord's killing the demons and apparently siding with the demigods. Therefore, it's very important that Prichit Maharaj and Shukadeva Goswami solve this issue in the seventh canto, establishing how Bhagavan is transcendental. It looks, here in the first canto, quite obvious. In order to perform some pleasing work for the demigods, he exhibited superhuman powers by doing this and that. And indeed, the demons, like Hiranyakashipu, they would accuse this Vishnu. They accepted Vishnu existed. But this Vishnu, he's like a little boy. You give him some sweet, he does what you want. That's what the demigods do. Why is he so inclined to them? He's partial. They see like that. They don't understand that they're acting within a system created by the Lord, and they're just getting the result of that system. Just like in the material cosmos, you have time. Within the arena of time, the living entities and the material world interact. So, this time factor, Shukadeva Goswami explains, favors Sattvagun. Therefore, the demigods, because generally they're in Sattvagun, therefore the demigods seem to predominate because of their situation in relation to the Lord's arrangement. The time factor favors Sattvagun. If you're in Sattvagun, then you seem to have advantages. That's not the Lord's direct partiality. It's your own interacting with his system. Just like you can see that without going into someone's complete karma, if they live a Sattvagun lifestyle, they'll live longer. Without going into other factors. They eat healthily, they rest properly, if they have a good mode of goodness lifestyle, they'll live longer. Now, is that the Lord's favor? No, it's just you happen to be acting in reference to his system in that way. So it seems that the Lord is favoring the demigods, but what's actually happening is they're acting in harmony for the most part, with the Lord's system, they get a certain result. Once we have seen clearly how Krishna is impartial, even when he does things like killing, then we're ready to see how the Lord handles his spiritual varieties in the groves of Vrindavan, and how Yogamaya can deal with different levels of mangoes, which are all generally ripe, but some need some finishing touches, just like you put a mango on the windowsill, let the sun act on it, where others, they're ready to eat immediately. Lord Brahma could see clearly in the killing of Putana what was going on. Therefore, he exclaimed, my mind is boggled how there could be any other reward than Krishna, who is the embodiment of all benedictions. What is the proof? Just look at what Putana obtained. The position Putana obtained makes me so amazed. What do I wonder? What's left to give to the Vrijvasis if he did this for Putana? Well, Lord Brahma, he could understand the killing of Putana was superfluous. The same value is there. No matter what Krishna does, everyone completely benefits. We have to overlook the vision given by the material energy, which causes us to see differences, causes us to see material differences in terms of this is good, this is bad. Advaita, again, true Advaita Siddhanta means that, yes, there are differences, but they all are part of the Supreme Personality of Godhead's energy. All the varieties form one unit. Whereas the improper Advaita Siddhanta means, ultimately, there's no variety. When, on Nityananda's appearance day in Chalpati, we were discussing the glories of Lord Nityananda. When Lord Chaitanya and the devotees were sitting down to take prasad, and Lord Chaitanya, once again, he's showing how he understands his devotees. This is a point I would like to be remembered. As we become older in Krishna consciousness spiritually, we want to feel more and more confidence that Krishna understands me, he knows how to deal with me. So Lord Chaitanya told the servers of prasad, just give me simple vegetables. Give all the first class preparations to the devotees. Would we sit down at a feast and say that? Just give me steamed vegetables. Give all the first class preps to everyone else. Well, this is Mahaprabhu. So, Jagadananda was not going to accept this. So Jagadananda would put very nice food in front of Lord Chaitanya, and Lord Chaitanya would just look at it. And then he would feel fearful because of his particular loving relationship with Jagadananda, and then he would eat a little bit. Then, while that was going on, Lord Chaitanya had already arranged that each devotee gets his favorite type of prasad. Because the Lord is omniscient, he knows exactly where each particular devotee is at. So, each devotee got his own favorites by the divine arrangement of the Lord. But then, meanwhile, the Lord had his scene going on with his intimate devotees. Sukh Damodar comes up and says, just take a little bit of this maha. I want you to see how Lord Jagannath has tasted it. Lord Chaitanya would take it, and then Sukh Damodar would continue. Just once again, just take a little bit of this and taste how Lord Jagannath has experienced it. By that time, Jagadananda was also coming up and doing the same thing. So, in this way, the meal went on. Meanwhile, the other two lords, Advaitacharya and Nityananda, they had their own thing happening. Advaitacharya announced, I do not know what will become of me. I'm a householder, and here I am eating with someone who we don't know. The Janma, the birth. We don't know the Kula, the family dynasty. We don't know the Shila, the particular behavioral qualifications, the standards. and we don't know the achar, how this person acts. And I'm sitting next to this person taking prasad. What will become of me? A householder has to be very careful who he takes prasad with. A sannyasi like Mahaprabhu, there's no injunction. They can eat whatever they want with whoever they want. But I'm a householder, and I have to follow very strictly. Now just look at me. Nityananda heard that and turned to Advaitacharya and said, what about monism? Here I am seated next to an impersonalist. By being close to an impersonalist, your devotional standard is ruined. And just look at me, next to a monist, one who teaches Advaita Siddhanta. Now, actually, there was truth, of course, in the jokes of Nityananda and the jokes of Advaitacharya. Nityananda has no ordinary birth or family dynasty. He has no ordinary nature. He has no ordinary behavior. And what to speak of Advaitacharya? It is true. Advaitacharya teaches Advaita Siddhanta. But the real Advaita Siddhanta. So Nityananda was actually complimenting him. You understand Advaita Gyan. How although there are infinite varieties, they all are one in that they're all related to Krishna. Now, these are a small amount of the unlimited flavors presented in Bhagavatam and Chaitanya Charitamrita. And my hope, my prayer is that all of us, we can become increasingly more confident that Krishna knows where I am at and how to deal with me. He evidences that in the material world. He also evidences that with his dearest devotees in Bhoma Vrindavan. He knows exactly what to do. Yogamaya exactly knows how to arrange for everyone. And therefore, the endless spiritual varieties always proliferate. And in this way, the devotees get great joy and satisfaction hearing about these varieties and telling them to others. Maybe we have time for one or two comments or questions. Someone's asking me to explain the teachings of Advaita, Dvaita, Vishishtadvaita, so on and so forth. Yeah, this is a long one. I think we'll end here. All glories to the Lord.